This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Popular demand, Friday's Endless Apps.
The people have spoken.
You want an endless choice of endless apps for just $10?
You got them.
Mozzarella sticks? Endless. Boneless buffalo wings?
Yep.
Endless. Loaded potato skins?
Uh-huh.
Endless. Your choice, your call.
You're welcome.
For a limited time, endless choice of endless apps. $10.
At Friday's.
At participating restaurants for a limited time. While supplies last, other restrictions apply. Backed by popular demand, Friday's Endless Apps.
The people have spoken.
You want an endless choice of endless apps for just $10?
You got them.
Mozzarella sticks? Endless. Boneless buffalo wings?
Yep.
Endless. Loaded potato skins?
Uh-huh.
Endless. Your choice, your call.
You're welcome.
For a limited time, endless choice of endless apps. $10.
At Friday's.
At participating restaurants for a limited time. While supplies last, other restrictions apply.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study. It is here that within the realm of human understanding, an amazing event will take place. As such, many will disbelieve that it has actually occurred. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 5th day of August, 2016. We are glad you joined us. I am Cower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers, chapter 33, starting at verse 1, through chapter 36, verse 13, Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 4 through 28, and chapter 3, verse 4. And the New Testament reading is found in James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. When surfing the web, stop by the Lifestyle Store on warn-usa.com. We have specially selected top-name brand products that range from survival items of all kinds to personal needs to other items. When you need that something extra to help in your journey, go to the Warn Radio Lifestyle Store on warn-usa.com. By shopping with the Warn Radio in our Lifestyle Store, you are supporting the WIBR Warn Radio Ministries and helping to ensure this message continues to get out. And the Watchman and I send out a thank you to all our listeners, supporters, and those who pray for us. We truly appreciate all you do. If you haven't downloaded Dana's The Watchman's 7 Tips for Living During the Apocalypse, you can do that by going to the Faith Lifestyle Media Store at www.danaglennsmith.com. That's danaglennsmith.com. And look on the front page and you'll find the e-book highlighted about midway down. And these tips are practical, biblical, and can help guide you in living your faith in these last days without fear, unbelief, and in fact, be encouraged. 7 Tips for Living During the Apocalypse. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. How about you?
Well, I couldn't hear you very well. I had the phone turned down because it was too loud.
Well,
here we are on another Friday night.
Yep, another Friday night. It's been a busy week.
Yes, and, it has. Gone by fast.
Well, at any rate, we're glad you join us whenever you join us. And another beautiful day here. Not as hot. But we thank God for every day He gives us. Because I can tell you assuredly, trouble is coming to America. As sure as I sit here, it's coming. And tonight we're going to be talking about Christian living, being kept, not forsaken.
That'll be good.
Yeah. But I haven't been following much of the news at all because of all the tech and stuff I had to do on the computer this week. I'm thankful that I can do it.
Oh, yeah.
I also do that on the websites, so I'm glad to be able to do it, although at times, like this week, it took a lot to get everything done. But
I know.
We got her. By God's grace, we got her. And so, thanks be to the Lord who gets us through all of our struggles in life. We had a hostage situation here in town, not too far from here. That turned out all right, according to Tower, who was monitoring it.
Yeah, that was kind of scary. It was real close to just a couple blocks from where I work, and that's pretty scary. I'm glad it ended peacefully. Nobody was injured.
And it wasn't terrorism.
No. I don't know what it was, but I'm thankful that nobody was hurt. I thank God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know the specifics because if it would have been, a Muslim terrorist, well, you know.
But it ended up a lot worse.
Yeah, kill first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
But they had the full scope of everything out. Tower was saying all the things she saw.
Yeah, I seen the armored SWAT truck and all the SWAT team and police cars, tons of them, tons of sheriff's vehicles. They had the streets blocked off. So I'm really glad it ended peacefully.
Well, you know, that is good exercise for them.
Yeah.
I hate to see what's happening in the world, but we know, from Scripture that these things are going to happen. And, there are believers in other nations that, they live from hour to hour, second to second, minute to minute. Not knowing whether they're going to live or die.
Yeah. That'd be
so
very hard to be in that situation.
You need to remember the brethren and pray for them. Give money, if you can, to those ministries that help them. And don't just let these ministries, unless they're misusing the funds, don't just let these ministries flounder. Because you have brothers and sisters in prison. And that reminds me of something that you said yesterday about Abedini.
Yeah, I was
you
thinking
want to
about
relate
that.
Yeah, why don't you relate that and what you told me yesterday?
Well, he was talking about how he had to sit at the airport for several hours before he could get out of Iran, and there was a plane there, and they kept telling him and whoever else was flying out with him that they had to wait for the plane to come in, and the plane and pilot crew, the crew that was there with the plane that was on the ground, was the one they ended up taking off in. So he thinks that there was Iran was waiting for a ransom to be paid for those people. But anyway, he was saying that he felt bad. He was thankful for his freedom, and he felt bad about the people left behind. And he said every Wednesday they execute 100 people. Every Wednesday. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
He didn't say how many were Christians or anything, but...
Well, you know the headlines in the news this last week, towards the end of the week, Wednesday or Thursday. Somewhere around in there, they were talking about the Obama administration in America paying out millions and millions of dollars to get these hostages freed. It's in the news. I can't remember the amount, but there was a lot of money involved. I didn't read the story.
That's another thing. Ebony said that they wouldn't be using the money to build orphanages, and that was the reason he was over there, to help with the orphanages. And he said they won't be using the ransom money for that. They'll be using it for
war.
Fighting a war.
Yeah, that's what they'll use it for. Yeah, jihad. That's what Iran will do. I don't know why America and the Obama administration and Europe is so happy over this deal with Iran. Iran is no friend of the world. Iran is definitely not a friend of America.
Nope.
But folks, this country will be invaded one day. Tonight at dinner, Tower and I were talking about a lot of these things. And I can tell you, unashamedly and absolutely, that there are things coming to this country. You wish that many Christians are going to be shocked. Many Americans are going to be devastated. But it's coming. One day. And no, I don't want it to come.
I don't either.
As I'm concerned and Tower's concerned, we could retire in old age and pass on to our Maker, you know, and never see these things. But then our kids would see them. I'd rather be here with my children. And that's another reason
that's
we haven't
right.
left America yet. We had a chance to leave America, and we're grateful to those who provided the opportunity for us. But we have children and grandchildren and people here, and friends of my grandchildren and friends of my children, some of whom I led to the Lord a long time ago. I don't know where they're living now. But you see, we got roots, Christian roots. Live or die, we're here. And we do plan on leaving one day. But whatever comes, it comes. And we've been talking about that in Romans. Shall persecution or nakedness or famine or peril? And Paul goes on to list a bunch of things. Separate us from the love of God? Heaven's sake, no. There's nothing that's going to separate you from your God. If you know Him and love Him and are faithful to Him. It says, the Scripture tells us, you will find the Lord when you seek Him with all your heart. We're also admonished to rise up early and seek the Lord. So that's where we're at today. But we're glad that it's Sabbath and we get to celebrate another rest. These things are a shadow of things to come. They're a shadow of heaven on earth, and that is during the tribulation when Yahshua is going to rule and reign. Absolutely and completely, we will see Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Son of Almighty God and our Father, here on this planet, ruling, and He will rule from Jerusalem. So at any rate, I don't know about old Trump. I don't know about Hillary. I definitely don't know about Hillary. That's a no-brainer there. Yeah. But old Trump, I don't know how his thing is, but, you know, Ryan's been giving Trump some bad time, and, of course, Trump's been fighting back. Trump's a fighter. You know, he is. But I can tell you the other, I think I mentioned this last night, but I'm going to mention it again. You know, these foes of Trump released naked pictures of his wife. Now, I don't know how they ever got him or if she ever was naked. I mean, that's not up my department.
That's wickedness.
But you would never do that of Michelle Obama.
No.
You would never do that, you know, of any other, you know, how about Hillary? Dear God in heaven. That'd chase you away. I mean, give me a break, folks. You know, this is, and America looks at this stuff and they laugh. They, you know, America's so corrupted, they don't even know what good is. They don't even know what righteousness is. And they're not going to know, because they have forsaken the living God. They have turned away from him. Absolutely and completely. And as far as you preachers out of there, if you really know the Lord, you better be preaching the truth and the gospel. Get off of entertaining your people. Be prepared.
That's right.
Buckle down. Absolutely. Well, at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and start this a little early because we want to get rolling on it. You got anything else you got to cover before we do?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Christian living. Now, we were at John 17, and we've been going through a bunch of this stuff. And, you know, and just let me read a few of the verses to get you oriented to where we were compared to last week. We left off here. And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they, meaning the believers who believe on him, he's praying for them now, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Boy, you see that today. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, Islam is of the world. Christ is not of the world. You know, and I feel this in my spirit. Especially Tower and I were talking about this. And the Spirit began to nudge me. You know, there was Isaac and Ishmael. The Messiah, the son of promise, came through the line of Isaac. There were two tribes of princes born. One was to Isaac, who was to have 12 princes, and one to Ishmael, who was to have 12 princes. Isaac, through his 12 princes, came the Messiah, through one of them, the tribe of Judah. Islam came through Ishmael. The Son of God died on the cross for your sins and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again as Lord of Lords, and he's going to be facing down the other prince who will rule. That prince you call the Antichrist, the Beast, the Son of Perdition, is out of the line of Ishmael. And he very likely could be heading up the line of Islamic armies in the last days. Now, I'm not saying for certain that's what he is, but I can tell you whoever sits as the beast will be out of the line of Ishmael. Believe it or not, Barack Hussein Obama is out of the line of Ishmael. Naturally. just a little something to chew on while we're talking about the Lord praying for us, and the world hates us because we're not of the world. In the Middle East, the Christians there, they're not of the world. Boko Haram spoke up this week, and they have a new focus to kill Christians in Nigeria. And they're going to target Christians and churches in Nigeria. Well, you see, those Christians in Nigeria are not of the world. The world hates them. Now, you see, the issue here is not that the world hates them. You could say the issue is we're not of the world. But no, the issue in this verse is not even that. That is just fact. The Lord was stating fact. The issue, and this is what we left you with last week in verse 15. I pray that thou shouldest, pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So the Lord is praying here that they were not to come out of the world. The Lord was not to take them out. His Father wasn't. But that the Father would keep them from the evil. Now there's evil in the world. Shall anything separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. The love of Christ is the love of the Father, and the love of the Father is the love of Christ. Now see, we hope. And in our hope, God has filled our hearts with the love of God. We are not of the world. Now, while many people believe they're going to be taken out and not face these things, I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you want to believe, go ahead. But the Lord prayed right here that, Father, don't take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil. Now, that's during our living here. Now, make no mistake, the Lord's coming again. So now, that's where we left off. Now, let's proceed. We're in Revelation. Now, see, this is another one of those. And see, there's two words again. Now, we're following in this thing on Christian living. We're talking about being kept and the word for being kept. Now, this one, has kept and will keep. Now, see, above in the one that we just read, it was thou shouldest keep. And the word there is shouldest keep. Now, see, all these are the same Greek word. Hast kept is two English words, but they're the same Greek word. Will keep, two English words, one Greek word. Shouldest keep, two English words, one Greek word. All the same Greek word. All the phrases are different in this respect. It shouldest keep, has kept, and will keep. So these are the descriptors on these things. So now, as we go down these verses, we have in Revelation 3, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now there again, hast kept and will keep. Those are we use two English words, but it's one Greek word. Now, he's talking to the church here. Now, I can tell you plainly that even I have preached this in times past, long time ago when I got out of Bible school, because I was taught by people that were doctors, PhDs, in their particular field. knowing the Hebrew and the Greek. The church, that's what they believe, even to this day. Now see, it says here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now in the English, that sounds like you're going to go in the rapture. Now see, this, make no mistake, this is argumentative here. I mean, and that's the way it is. And so, you know, as we look at this, though, if we just focus on the Greek words, just a minute here. To guard from a loss. And to guard from loss by keeping an eye upon. Figuratively, to keep unmarried. In other words, we are the bride of Christ. We're not to serve another. When we serve another God, you know, we've just given up that soul commitment to the Lord. Now, to guard from loss or injury by keeping an eye upon and differing from another, which is to prevent escaping. Now, when we talk about this, is the Lord keeps you during these things. Doesn't mean you're going to be out of them. Now, we've covered this in a lot of aspects. But see, now let's look at this, what it says. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And that was the big thing in Revelation. We need to keep the word of his patience, which is, you're going to need patience to get through this. And his grace will sustain you because things are going to come unglued at the seams. Things are going to happen in these end days that we as a generation, and this generation, my generation, has been one of the richest, the wealthiest, and et cetera, and the one, you know, that came out of the baby boomers, came out of the war generation. Now, we're going to see things that our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and everything else never saw. And so, it's going to take patience. These things are going to happen. And he says, because you've done that, now see this, we aren't there yet anyway. But he says, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. We'll keep, to guard against, to help, to ensure that you get through it, to give you that impetus to make it through that hour of temptation. Remember what Jesus prayed on the cross. You know, he actually prayed it in the garden. And he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine, but thy will be done. See, his hour of temptation for Christ specifically was going through this aspect to overcome, being beaten, spat upon, nailed to the cross, and dying. I mean, there was this aspect that he had to wrestle with. That's that nature. And he was the Son of God, fully God and fully man. But he went through this hour of temptation. He was delivered through it. He was kept through the whole thing, but he went through it. Now, are we going to go through a tribulation? You're already in tribulation. In the seals, we talk about those who are under the altar that had lost their lives during the time of the beast, this time period. And they wanted to know, they said, Lord, how long are you going to wait before you avenge our blood? And he says, wait a while until those who are going to be martyred will become martyred. There comes a time when this comes to an end. We've talked about this. Now, see, all this relates to Revelation 13 and the beast, which himself says, or the scripture says, that he's going to make war with the saints. Now, see, there's been a war against the saints since the time of Christ. But it's really ramped up in these last days. And we've had different periods of persecution on Christians during the Roman empires and many other times. But see, the time period we're going into is unlike any other previously, and there'll be never be another one like this. So, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That can only refer to this end of days of which we live. No other time period. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take thy crown. Now, this is interesting, because here he says, let no man take your crown, which points to the fact that once you believe, you're serving God, and you're with him in heaven, there is a crown for you already. All you have to do is be faithful, hold fast, so no one takes it. How do they take it? By turning you away from what you're doing. Or you come to the point where you're not hot for the Lord. You're not on fire for the Lord, you know. You become unbelieving. You start serving other things, say. He says, behold, I come quickly. Now see, when he comes quickly, okay, I come quickly. Now we know when he comes, we're going to meet him. We know that he will send out his angels and the harvesters at the end of the world. We know that there's going to come a time when we're not going to be here. We will be gathered with the Lord. Make no mistake about it. The time period, nobody knows the time period. I don't care what prophecy dude you're talking to. They'll tell you that, oh, this is it. I'm telling you, they don't know. They think they know. I don't live according to some guy's whims and whatnots, and thank you. I live every day by faith in the Lord. I do not worry about a rapture. I do not worry about the tribulation. I'm not concerned about the Antichrist. I'm not concerned about the devil. I don't care about Obama and Michelle. I don't give one rat's patootie who's president. I live every day and I look to the Lord. And my life is in his hands. And live or die, I'm the Lord's. So my faith is not built on man's theology. It's built on the Word of God. And that's the problem in the church today. We have built our faith on theology. It should be built upon the Word of God, resting in the Son of God, whom we serve with our whole heart. Now, if you want to know truth, that's the truth. So while we're talking about Christian living and being kept, well, the issue that we've made theologically with Revelation 3 is that you're going to be taken out in the rapture and you'll never see these things. Well, that sounds fine and dandy, and I'm all for it. If that happens, so be it. But like an old prophet told me once, he says, if there is going to be a rapture, Lord, just leave me here. Now, him being a Jew said, because I want to help Israel. Now, if you're a backslidden Christian and you believe in the rapture, you're going to have a rude awakening. Now, you see, the thing of it is that in the Greek, when we talk about exemption from trial, and while we look at, does it really imply preservation under trial? See, the rapturists and others believe that this verse points to the fact that this says exemption from a trial. That's not what it means. the actual words are, it's not certain that the common explanation, which we interpret as being a rapture or being exempted from trial, holds true here. While at the same time, the implication of being preserved while under trial holds good. That even holds merit scripturally. And we've gone through this in this study. But make no mistake, this is that time to come upon the world. That has been no other. Now let's get down here to Luke 21. Now, Luke 21 is interesting, and I quote this a lot. I've been preaching this and talking about this for a long, long time. Now here it is. Remember this whenever you're telling people, and this gives you guidance on what you need to be doing. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face on the whole earth. Now, pay close attention to these verses, because this will give you an explanation of Revelation 3 that we just read. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So first of all, the warning is take heed to yourselves. Don't let your heart be overcharged with living life, the cares of this world, eating, drinking, going out to restaurants, going to movies, doing your job, paying all your bills, getting drunk once in a while, and so caught up in the cares of this life that it pulls you away from the Lord. Now see, as long as we acknowledge the Lord and seek Him and acknowledge Him with our finances, which means you need to be giving to the poor. You need to be giving to the Lord. And that's why I mentioned giving to some of these ministries that are helping your brethren overseas. But nevertheless, for as a snare, it's going to come upon all those. And if you are so busy, so caught up, and folks, don't condemn yourself here, okay? Oh, yeah, I do it all the time, and I just can't help myself, or you get mad at yourself. We're really good at, you know, I am. And I know a few others are. They get after themselves. Why did I do it? You know, why? I don't want to do that. You know, well, at any rate, forget that. Seek the Lord. Don't get caught up in that. But you see, the thing of it is that there is that place, and America has made it easy for the Christian church for many, many years to get caught up in this life. It's just the way it is. I mean, I was caught up in it, you know, been caught up in it. And even as a believer, you're caught up in it. But it says, so that day come upon you unaware. Well, it's not going to come upon me unaware because I watch. Here, it tells you to watch you, therefore, and pray always. Now, see, this is the key. You're seeking the Lord. You're watching. You're looking at all the events that happen. You're reading the Word. You're watching the things that happen in your family. You know, when you see things that are happening that aren't right, you fast and pray and bind these spirits. Now, what are we looking at today? We're looking at some of the most intense persecution of Christians that's ever been done. It started back really intensely in 2014, and it's increasing. You see more of a division between the Muslims and the Christians. The war of religions, Christianity and Islam, has surfaced many, many times. The Pope denies that. It's not a thing of religions even come out and said that they are the same God. No, he's mistaken. I don't care if he is the Pope. But the thing about him being a Pope, he has millions and millions of people that hang on every word he says. Those people ain't going to listen to me. They ain't going to listen to anybody. They'll listen to the Pope. So when we talk about principalities and powers in high places, the Pope is one of them principalities and powers in high places. Obama is another principality and power. And he's not a Christian principality. He's a Christian and a Muslim principality. But under his rule in America, Christianity, we've seen more and more persecution against Christians. And we've also seen more of a detrimental effect in morality in America because of him. And at the same respect, he's allowed in more Muslims into this country than ever before. And he's nurtured that. Now, the exact figures of how many he's let in, I don't know, but there's been a lot of them. Now, has he done more than anybody else? All of the people that's leading our country has been guilty. Nevertheless, the big thing we look at is that there's something coming. Okay? Revelation 3:20 says that this thing's coming upon the earth, and that because you've kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from that. Now, that does not mean, however, that you're not going to be here at the time. And we explained that. Now, see, here it says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. Now, that doesn't say you're leaving the earth. It says escape. It says, watch and pray always that you are accounted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, see, it doesn't do any good to escape if you can't stand before the Son of Man, because that's the goal. Even if you're martyred in faith, you can stand before the Son of Man. So these are scriptures here that are meant to come at you, okay? And the issue is not leaving in the air in a rapture. The issue is getting through this. However God chooses to do it. Now in verse 36, watch therefore and pray always. That's what you need to be doing. And what you pray is, Father. And of course you praise him ahead of time, but then you say, you bless the Father and bless the Son. Blessed be he who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's out of Revelation. Blessed be our God and Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. But at any rate, you pray always, Father, I pray, I'm watching and I'm praying. And then you go through you and your family and all those that you want to pray and lift them up before the Lord. And while you're doing it, asking God to forgive them of whatever sins they may have done. And don't use this thing, well, I know that they're this and they're that. You just get off of that. God knows what they've done. You don't need to get into the, well, you know, he's kind of a pain in the butt. Lord, forgive him for being a pain in the butt. No, you need to forgive him for being a pain in the butt. God will take care of the rest of it. But what you need to pray is, Lord, forgive them. And you're praying out of love. Forgive them, Lord, of all their sins of omission and commission. Wash them in the blood of the Lamb and cleanse them and forgive them, Father. Now, you see, you're praying, Lord, I pray that me and my family, and you name them, or whoever it is you're praying for, be worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There's two goals here, to escape through this, and we're talking a physical escape, because when we get into Revelation, in the beginning of Revelation, it talks about all those leaving Babylon. Come out of her, my people. And we've covered that. Whenever you're looking at come out of her, my people, and you get back in the time of the Jews leaving Babylon, it was always an admonishment to get out of there because my judgment's coming in. And the Lord even told them to let Jerusalem come to your mind. Get back to Jerusalem. Get out of there. Get away. Now, see, when you're in the world and this thing has happened worldwide, you may not know where to go. So you're not, well, Lord, take me over here, you know, 20 miles and drop me off. No, no. But see, there's a lot of supernatural things are going to be happening during this time, too. A lot more than there are now, even. Because this is going to be a time of a real intense ministry of angels and deliverances. It's going to be unprecedented. You will see the clash of heaven and hell like you've never seen in the earth before. And you're going to think this whole world is going to come apart. And believe me, these things are going to drive people actually to have heart attacks. And that's more than what we've seen. I mean to tell you, this thing has not even ramped up yet. So this is why you need to be praying always. And you need to be having faith when you pray. So that's Luke 21 through 34. You can get the scripture and just pray. And what I do, you just pray yourself in that scripture. Now, the one thing we want to look at, too, is more words. This is G5083. That's the Greek. And you see, we've talked about shouldest keep, will keep. We've talked about all the different English phrases that define one Greek word. Now, this one Greek word also can mean doorkeeper, doorkeepers, keeper, keepers, keeping, kept. Now, in Mark 19:17, just to illustrate this word, because not all of them have to do this word with the way we've been using it. That's the way they're used. Now this one, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And you'd have to read that whole thing. We're not preaching on that. I'm just targeting the word. Keep the commandments. You have the commandments in one hand. You keep them. You follow them. You read them. You obey them. You look at them. Well, we're Christians. We can't keep the commandments. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you that. Now, there are a lot of people that try to tell you that. The Ten Commandments gives you a guidance for life. Matter of fact, so does the law that was given at Sinai. But we're not justified by the law. We're justified by faith in Christ and through his vicarious death on the cross. But see, here the idea is to keep them. So if we talk about the Lord keeping you during the trials that are coming up, you're going to be in his hands. Keep. You know, you have the car keys to your car, you know, and you keep them with you all the time. Unless you give them to someone else, you keep them. You know, a lot of women carry them in their purse. Men put them in their pockets. You keep them. What do you do when you keep the car keys? Well, you don't lose them. You lose them, you can't go anywhere unless you have to walk. In America, we don't walk like that. We like our cars, so we keep our car keys. If we kept the commandments and the Word of God the way Americans keep their car keys to their brand new cars and their keys to their brand new houses and homes and keys to their brand new boats and all the rest of the stuff they like to collect, dear God, we wouldn't have to worry about judgment if they kept the Word of God and kept their faith to Him like that. But no, we don't do that, folks. That's what keep is. That's why we're going through the Word. What do you keep in your life? What do you sow? What do you keep? What burns you at night? What gets you going? What's in your heart? God wants to be on that heart. See, that's the whole issue. Israel knew how to keep the commandments. So did Solomon. But after his reign, the greatest reign that Israel ever saw of a king was King Solomon. David was a warrior king. Nobody could conquer Israel. They had their problems, though. But during Solomon, it was unprecedented. But see, he eventually fell away. From the top glory of Solomon's reign, Israel was split into two separate tribes. You know, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. See, it's what are you going to keep? What are you going to do? Let's look at another one. Mark 7, 7 through 9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Now, he's speaking of the Jews. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Now, see, you can laugh at this. You know, oh, we Gentiles, we don't do that. We don't care about the washing of pots and pans and all the rest of the stuff. Well, you do if you're a Jew and you're talking about certain rituals and rites that they do. Oh, yeah, and on certain occasions you're wearing all white. I mean, yeah, they've got them. They've been doing this religious thing for a long, long time. But see, do you not think that the Gentile churches today, and we've been doing it for generations, we've been doing it for so long that we don't even know what we're doing anymore? See, the main thing here is to teach what you've been taught in Bible school, what you've been taught in seminary, what the organization is that gave you the preacher's license that allowed you to teach in their college. This is what's important. Because you need to teach what these people want you to teach if you're going to have them certify you. And see, many people will lay aside the tradition, lay aside the commandments of God just to uphold what they've been taught. That's why we have so many different denominations and so many different ideas. Okay? Now, I've done research on Mormonism a long time ago. I don't even talk about denomination of Mormonism because I don't care. I don't care what you call yourself. Mormonism is as irrelevant as any Christian doctrine on earth. What you need is the Bible and the Bible alone. You need the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And you need the Son of God and the Son of God alone. And throw the rest of the traditions of men and all the names that we've accumulated in the garbage. Because no flesh will be exalted on the day of judgment. Now, you see, more people hold to their denominations than anything else. And while the denomination or churches, they're fine. But you just got to know where your heart's going to be in all this. Do we as Christians in America reject the commandment of God so that we can just keep those things which we've been taught, called our tradition? Yes, we do. Because there are certain things. When you talk to the Gentile church about keeping the commandments of God, they equate it with the law and they run the other way, back to their little denomination. I'm not telling you to keep the law. I'm just telling you to watch out for that tradition of men, which it's proven. We keep the tradition of men over the Word of God. So before it was keep the commandments. Keep them. And we use the scenario, keep your car keys. You keep them. You hang on to them. You put them in your purse. You don't want to lose them because because you can't start your car, you can't get to work on time, you can't get home on time, you can't go pick the kid up on time, you can't do nothing. You keep the car keys. See, that's what you need to do with your faith in Christ. You need to keep it. And you need to teach your kids to keep it. And that's why you need to teach your kids and read them the Ten Commandments and read them also the Gospels. Because you need to tell them that salvation came in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. He is the fulfillment of the law. He didn't come to destroy the law, he says. I've come to fulfill it, and he did. So while you read them and you read out of the Old Testament or the Torah or the Tanakh, whatever you want, the Torah is also the Pentateuch. The Tanakh is all the Bibles. I mean, all the books of what we would call the Old Testament. The Brit Kaddish, the New Testament, the New Covenant. But you see, it's the Lord who fulfilled all this. So you keep the commandments. Now this one says, keep your tradition. What do you do when you keep your tradition? Well, you keep it just the way you kept them car keys. You got two separate scenarios here. The one is the focus on that which God has given, and the other that which is man given. Now see, you're talking about Christian living being kept. You're not going to be kept if your heart isn't in the right place, if you're doing the wrong things. The backslidden church, they're going to fit real well in that fire. There is a fire, Revelation, the Laodicean church. I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in fire. Yeah. When was the last time you read the first 14 books of Revelation? No, John 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now see, the Jews really, you know, they're good at keeping the law. And so the Jews was listening to him, and they says, now we know he has a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and you said, well, if you keep my sayings, you'll never taste of death. So they're thinking, well, Abraham kept them, and he's dead. The prophets, Elijah, he followed God and kept him. He's dead. Elisha's dead. Isaiah's dead. You know, Nehemiah. How can you say they'll never taste of death? He is speaking of the spiritual death. He was the second death. The Lord told him, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. When he gets into the discourse on eating my body or eating my flesh and drinking my blood, that blew him away. Many left him after that because the Jews were literalists. Because, see, in their world, keeping the law literally was righteousness. And in the Old Testament, that's what it was during the time. But see, we're not in that time anymore. We are in another time, another era that the Messiah has come. So he says, if you keep my sayings, his words, the word of God, yeah, you're not going to see death. In John 1, he went to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he life to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. That's John chapter 1. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, this is trust in, rely on, and cling to him, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the condemnation is this, is that God sent of his only begotten son, and the world rejects it. And so the Lord is saying, coming into my light. And the world doesn't want to come into his light, because when they do, their deeds are manifest or made plain. And it shows that their deeds are evil. But those who have come to the light and serve the Lord God come into the light to prove their deeds are light and not darkness. For Christ himself said in John 3, they do not come because they love darkness more than light. So yes, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He says that in John 8:51 and 8:52. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's John 8:51. John 8:52. Thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. The phrase is repeated twice. This is something not to forget when it's like that. And so they said, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? We already told him. You know, they kept asking for a sign. And he did miracles and signs all the time. And they were there, but still didn't see him. And yet they kept asking him for a sign. How many signs do you need to see? Even if I did another sign, you would not believe. I know your hearts. John 55. Yet you have not known him. He's speaking of the Father. But I know him, the Lord said. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to Pharisees. There's probably chief of the Pharisees there, Jews, regular Jews, Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the chief priests, some of his people would probably be there. They'd been around there. I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Keep his saying. Now see, further on, the Lord talks about that in various places in the Gospels. And in John 17, he prays, I have given them your word. Jesus, Yahshua, didn't speak of his own. Whatever the Father gave him, that's what he spoke. So when he says to keep my saying, those sayings that he gave were the sayings the Father gave him. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is in the Gospels. Now see, in the old days, when my grandma, who was a godly woman, took my dad and his brother and sister to an Amy McPherson meeting, sawdust floors, they were in Azusa. This was during the time of the Azusa Street revivals going on. Of the three children, Dad was the only one that accepted the Lord. And all his life, he never could figure out why he was the only one. But see, when he came to the Lord, they told him to do two things. Keep the faith of Jesus, believe in the Lord, and keep the Ten Commandments. That's what they told him to do. A lot of your ancestors in the faith in this country, they believed in Jesus Christ and they walked according to the Ten Commandments. Today, in today's church, we are lawless. We don't keep them. We don't teach them. We don't teach salvation as we should. We don't preach it like we should. And we haven't. You have a lot of hirelings in the pulpit. And you have a few that are downright black-hearted. Now, I know there's godly men out there. and they're probably grieved over this. But we're in a struggle for the soul of Christianity in this country. Islam is coming on strong. And one of the reasons it's coming on strong is because there's sin in the camp. You can go back to Israel, and whenever they were falling away from the Lord, whenever they were in sin, God gave them over to their enemies to bring them back. It's a cycle we see time and time again. Israel would come to the Lord. God would bless them. They would live for the Lord for a while in the blessings, then they would backslide, fall away. They would not repent. God would warn them and eventually send judgment, which would bring them back to the Lord. They would repent again. God would bless them. They would backslide, fall away from the Lord. God would send a prophet. They wouldn't listen, and God would send judgment again. So today, Christian living being kept and not forsaken. We'll give you the answer is, will God ever forsake a Christian? I think I cover it at the very end of this. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the Lord cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I shall not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live, and you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So in this little verse here, in this section, we have, if you leave me, love me, keep my commandments. And you have again, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's the same thing. Keep my commandments. You got your car keys? You keep your car keys. You know, you want to hang on to them. There's things sometimes I misplace, and it bugs me. What did I do with them? See, you don't want to lose stuff. See, so just put this in this scenario. You don't want to lose anything, and you especially do not want to lose the Lord's blessing. You don't want to lose the Lord. He is not going to go anywhere. You will go somewhere, if anything. It will be you who will fall away. It will be you who will be unfaithful. That is man. But God is never unfaithful. Yahshua. Even if we deny him, he cannot deny himself. He is who he is. He is the Son of Almighty God. He knows the Father, and he told them, if I say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. See, that's some good preaching there. See, these preachers don't want to stand up in front of that congregation. Many times they have enough money coming in, if they make the people with the money mad, and they go away. Well, you see, in today's economy in the church, well, they can always find another church to go. There's always some other preacher willing to tickle their ears. But preacher, if you can find yourself a congregation that you can preach the truth of God And they're still going to love you even though you step on their toes, and they're going to support you. Then that's a church that you might be able to help in a real way. Now see, all these are keep. Now I'm giving you these illustrations so you can get in your mind Christian living being kept. Now that being kept in our title of this study is the same word in the Greek as this word keep is. Same word. But they're used in different scenarios here. But it helps you to grasp the point that in faith, it's about keeping. We keep things, God keeps us. We keep what the Scripture says, He keeps us. We keep in the faith, He keeps us. We keep loving God, He keeps loving us. We keep. John 15:10, again, there's that word again. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 17:11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep. See, as we keep his commandments, we're going to abide in his love. Just like he, the Lord, kept the Father's commandments and abode in the Father's love. The Lord went through a time of testing, faced death. He kept the faith. He died. He was put in the grave. He was resurrected 3 days later. He appeared to those who loved him because they were in the light. So they were able to see him. You always ask why the world never seen the Lord. Why didn't he appear to everybody? He couldn't. The only ones that he could appear to were those who were in the light. They were righteous. Those are the ones he appeared to. Even the ones on the road to Emmaus, they were in the light. They didn't understand everything, but they were in the light. They knew who the Lord was. They may not have understood everything there was about this, but he explained it to them. See, this is the idea of keep. You see, there's a lot of things in the world I can't do anything about. I can't even do much about the election. I can't do anything about Obama's agenda. I don't like it. I can't do nothing about it. I can't do anything about the state of the church or the state of the world or Christians dying in the Middle East or Yazidis getting slaughtered or their girls and women getting raped and Christian women getting raped. I can't do anything about the bloodshed in America. But I can do what I can do. I can be faithful. I can preach the word. I can pray for those. And I can believe that somehow, some way. And see, this is where it's at. God said his word would never return void, but it will accomplish that which he has purposed it to do. And that's why on our websites, I have vast resources of teachings, biblical teachings. And I've changed the site around where you go to our front page and you see line after line of biblical teachings. They're in graphic form. I make all the graphics. And you can see them. It's the Word of God. It's on my site. It's the first page you see. Why? Because God's Word does not return void. And while we're still going to cover issues and news, I'm not going to be covering endless issues of news. I'm going to be preaching, teaching, praying, and looking to the Lord. You see, this thing isn't going to get any better. And I'm planning on making it to heaven. And I'm going to take as many of you as I can with me. Because when we stand before the Lord on the day, that first day of glory, and we're all rejoicing, we're going to have a group hug. Because we've made it. You see, that's what this is about. See, there's love in this whole heart. And I have known a few things over my life. But this one thing I know. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is able to keep, the word keep again, keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, there's going to come that day when I stand before him. There's going to come that day, even on this earth, when I have to stand up for the Lord. See, everybody's going to have to, one way or the other, in one way or another. You're not going to get out of this. This is the time of the end. But when we're standing in glory in that group hug, the love of God will flow. And the Lord will be right in the middle of us. He'll be the center. You see, that's what this is about. See, we're circumcised in the heart through the operation of the Holy Ghost because of our faith in God's mercy. That's where we're at tonight. Okay. Now, we're in Acts now, and we're talking about keeping. See, that you can do a lot with words, and we've done a lot with that one little word, keep. And we've read a lot of scripture. It has a lot of meaning, a lot of issues here to help you draw closer to the Lord. In Acts 15, starting at 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Now see, that's the Jewish brethren, the apostles, and the elders and the brethren. We're sending it to the Gentiles because they meant the Gentiles. See, the Jews always considered the Gentiles unclean. But see, we're in a new era now, where the Jews have to come to faith the same way we unclean Gentiles did, or have. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See, this is the issue here that followed Paul and the apostles. That people came out from within them that said, you have to keep the law to be saved. That's not true. Now, I'm going to tell you, Paul kept the law. So did the apostles. It was just part of them. But they kept it through the Spirit. Spiritually. Circumcision of the heart. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So they're sending people to the Gentiles who have been troubled by people who said they came from the apostles, and the apostles never sent them. Now, John talks about false teachers, and he says that they were among us, but they weren't of us. For had they been of us, they would have stayed, but they left. And they brought false doctrine in. Paul himself said, after my death shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Now see, you live in the end of days, and the subverting of hearers, the subverting of faith, the false teachings entered in centuries before you were born. You know, you were seeing this happen in 60-some A.D. I mean, and, you know, the bottom line of it is, even during the time of the Lord teaching, the Jews were bringing stuff against him. So he says, now we talk about people, okay? Who do you trust? Now, in the ministry, before you can make someone, you know, a chief elder, a deacon, you know, they've got to be proven. And here we see they sent chosen men that they could trust with this mission. Men who had hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They faced death. They faced imprisonment. They faced the enemy face to face, evil. And they kept the faith and came back. You see, this is how you choose. When you've been with someone many years and you've seen how they've been over those years, you know them. You trust them. You see, we have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. And what is that? The things that the letters are saying. That you don't have to be circumcised and keep the law. Now, see, that's a Jewish thing. Because the circumcision to be saved, well, that's the way you get into the Abrahamic covenant. And you keep the law. That's the Sinai covenant. But see, Christ fulfilled all those. And in Deuteronomy 30, the Lord said in those days, speaking of those people at that time, especially the Jews, that I will circumcise your heart. Now see, that's what being spiritually born again is. God circumcises your heart spiritually. It's not a physical circumcision. Now, there are Christian messianic preachers and congregations that circumcise their children in Israel. It's not that big a deal. It's in the heart. They don't circumcise to be saved. They're already saved. They've got freedom. Freedom to circumcise or freedom not to circumcise. Doesn't make any difference. And he says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. See, they just didn't decide to do it on their own, but they understood when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, had agreed. Now see, that's just like when I get to moving on certain topics or I know something, I know that the Holy Ghost agrees. Doesn't mean everything a preacher does is perfect, but there are times. There are times in the ministry, in a heavy anointing. Don't you interfere. Well, he says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, these are the basic things the early church decided that the Gentiles needed to do. He says that you abstain from meats offered to idols. Now see, no, I can tell you, Christians today don't pay attention to that. We don't even follow that. And I can tell you how. You know, there was a Chinese restaurant. And in this Chinese restaurant, it was a good buffet, and we would go in there. You know, I was a watchman. I was preaching. And it never dawned on me. Maybe it should have, but it didn't. And then I looked up one time while I was eating, and I saw this big Buddha statue. It had been bothering me for some time. See, their whole restaurant was dedicated to that Buddha in the entry. It was huge. So I told Tower, I said, we can't go back. Every time you eat a meal in there, you're eating a meal dedicated to an idol. Now see, Christians in America don't pay attention to that. That you abstain from meats or from blood, what do? We eat blood rare steaks, medium rare steaks. And then here's the other one, from things strangled, this is uncleanness, from fornication. Well, we surely don't care about fornication. Look at how much adultery we have, homosexuality, bisexuality, and every other kind of sexuality. He says, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fairly well. Now, see, the only word that was the word we're studying tonight is keep, but I went through this because it is important for you to hear it. That keeping the law is what it is. It's just like, don't let loose of those car keys. You don't want to lose them. You keep them. See? And that's what these men from Jerusalem said. You must be circumcised and keep the law. Well, see, there's a lot of Jews that are saved and messianic that they will follow the law. But they don't follow it in the same law that the Jews do over in Israel. They know that they're saved. But they also want to keep the law. First of all, there's a couple of things about the law, especially if you do the kosher food, not the modern kosher, but you get into the Torah. We keep the Torah. We don't do with the rest of the books and all the add-ons. See, this is where it gets in beyond what God intended. But see, the kosher food, it tells you certain fish you shouldn't eat. And I've covered this in the past. You better pay attention to those things. Because the diseases, uncleanness. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It means it affects your body. It can kill you. And there's laws of cleanliness that even the hospitals and the doctors today have used for centuries. And God told the children of Israel that during the time of the giving of the Torah, the law at Sinai. So, you know, I mean, this is why. It was to help Israel keep alive. But you see, we're talking about Christian living being kept. See, the enemy will want to tell you, oh, I've got to go. I just noticed that. I can read it, 149. I got to stop. Well, I could have gone on for a while, but that's the way it is.
Well, you'll have to pick it up next time.
Yeah, I will. Yep, we're at 123. It's hard to believe. Time flew by.
Yes, it did. Always does when you're hearing something interesting and beneficial.
Yep. I'll tell you, some of this stuff is, I love these scriptures in here.
Oh, I know. Me too. Yes, I do.
You know, time goes by so fast.
Yep.
I was thinking about that today.
I know. Well, we're going to have to say goodnight.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, whenever you do.
Yep.
We love
you. Thank
you. We pray for you. God bless you.
God bless. Good night.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
3, 2, 1.
Backed by popular demand, Friday's Endless Apps.
The people have spoken.
You wanted endless choice of endless apps for just $10.
You got them.
Mozzarella sticks? Endless. Boneless buffalo wings?
Yep.
Endless. Loaded potato skins?
Uh-huh.
Endless. Your choice, your call.
You're welcome.
For a limited time, endless choice of endless apps. $10.
On Fridays.
At participating restaurants for a limited time. While supplies last, other restrictions apply.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.